The future belongs to those who control the culture, and the culture belongs to those who control the conversation. So we are having the conversations you wish you could have at church to build a safe and vibrant community. This is the Oz Table Talk Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of Table Talk.
Hey. stealing my line.
That's copyrighted.
I know, I just wanted to give it a go. Yeah.
But yeah, seriously, welcome. We're doing part two
of our new series of how to get the most out of your church.
Yes, that's it.
And with this one being how to connect with people.
Which is basically what church is about, right? Because it's full of people.
It's about connecting with people. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just an empty building and that's just boring.
Yeah, true that.
So before we jump into that, you have a review for us, Luke?
Yes, you do have a review. So this week's review is from Ernie Hernandez. Wait a second, what are we going to do with that?
Erno.
Erno. that's how we Australianise your name, so Erno.
To be fair, it'd probably just be Ernie.
Yeah. I was going to say Ernie is kind of already shortened, so yeah, we'll let you off this
one. Interesting to know if that is the shortened version. Actually, maybe Ernest or something like that.
Yeah, true, but you know what we probably would do with that? Ernie Hernandez, we'd make it like Ernie Herney or something. I can actually say this. Ernie is one of my friends. Ernie, thank you for leaving us a review. Really appreciate that. Ernie's review says, I burned through 3 episodes the first day I heard about these guys. I love the laid-back style, but at the same time, they tackle heavy topics. Couldn't recommend it more. So
thanks for that, Ernie.
Yeah, really appreciate that. Ernie actually has a YouTube channel, which is actually really cool. So anyone out there that is keen for more Christian YouTubers, look up Ernie Hernandez. So
laid back but lifting heavy issues. That sounds like bench pressing.
I love bench pressing.
Yeah, you guys.
Oh, dear. You'll come along one day. One day.
Maybe. It's fairly unlikely.
I'll join you one day. I'll say that much. Okay. So we're talking about connecting with people. So what do you do? Like, you know, you pick a church, you start going along, and how do you start getting connected with the social fabric of the church?
Usually the first thing I like to do is say hello.
Hope you've enjoyed this episode, everybody.
This is going to be a great one. Yeah. No wonder it was so special.
Yeah. I'm starting to wonder if we should just can it about this. Well, my first thought was when I go to a new church, I look for opportunities to interact with people. And usually the first people that are going to be there to interact with you are going to be the greeters, because most churches have people at the door to welcome new people in. Mm-hmm. And that's great. They're usually nice and warm and all the rest, but usually they're kind of busy. So you can have like a surface level interaction, but that's usually about what you get. And mm-hmm. you head on into the service. But often, depending on where you go or where you sit, the people that are in the pew with you will, you know, if they're regulars, they'll probably notice that you're
Quite often the greeters, or at least I've found, they quite often can point you in the right direction. Oh, this Sabbath school group over here, they'd probably be a good one for you to go to.
Yeah.
So you can probably go, okay, similar sort of demographic. There should be some connection potential there. So greeters are a good place to start. They can quite often point you in the right direction. Mm-hmm.
Definitely, and apart from them, it would be mostly looking to your demographics. So yeah. If you're a parent, go to talk to some parents. You're going to have something in common. If you're a teen, go talk to a teen. If you're a footballer, tackle the pastor.
You seriously said all of that just so you could say that, didn't you, Ben?
I had to say it again.
Oh, dear.
We'll have to warn Pastor Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right about 90% of what you just said. Yeah. No, it's good. Like, yeah, definitely your own demographic. And I think it's interesting, you know, different people are going to find this particular aspect very different. Like, for me, personally, when I go to a new church, I like to slip in. I like to sit in a corner. I like to be alone and just observe, because I'm an introvert. And that's kind of the way I get to know the church. And then when I'm feeling comfortable to come out of my little shell a little bit, I'll probably come out of my little shell. And so maybe from an introverted perspective, it's about, I suppose, jumping a little bit outside of your comfort zone. Mm. But I think it's important to be selective about that, because you can connect with the wrong kind of people as well. Mm. You know, yeah. Ones that might potentially turn you off the church. So I actually find that to be quite helpful for me, is first of all going in and observing. And then you can sort of maybe look around and see the kinds of people that you would like to connect with, mm-hmm. and then make an intentional effort to connect with them.
So what are you looking for when you are observing?
Me personally?
Yeah, you personally.
Yeah, good question. I've never really thought about it before, so I probably would say one of the things that I like to look for is those kinds of people that seem to be noticing what people, what needs are out there in the congregation, and sort of looking to filter around and meet those needs. Mm-hmm. Those are kinds of people that I find myself interested in connecting with. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's more from a leadership perspective, but
mm-hmm.
But for me, as an introvert, speaking to introverts, sometimes it's the quiet people, because you feel comfortable talking to them, because you're like, this is actually going to be my kind of person right here.
Yeah.
And maybe not the super, super quiet people, because that can be awkward. Mm-hmm. But somebody you feel like, oh, that they look like you could have a decent conversation with them, but they're not going to be like all flamboyant and make you uncomfortable.
Yeah. That's really interesting, because like,
because you've got no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I
do have somewhat of an idea, because I'm also introverted.
Yeah.
One of the techniques. Yeah.
I had an epiphany. I'll share it in a minute.
One of the techniques I use is using some of the generic, talking about the weather or something that just happens to be there at the time.
Start you off.
You can start it off and go, okay, it's not really going to go anywhere. They're not really on my wavelength of thought. And you can go, be polite and, you know, then talk to another person. Just an opening phrase like that, when you just happen to be standing in near proximity, and just let a random comment out and see if anyone takes a bait.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. So what I found interesting about what you were just sharing, Dave, was that, to my thinking, it wouldn't matter whether you were extroverted or introverted. Like reaching out to an extrovert is always going to be easier, because they're just sitting there like a panting dog waiting for someone to talk to them. So
it can be intimidating.
Yeah,
though.
I was going to say, but the fact that you said that introverts find that intimidating is really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, we find it overwhelming sometimes, you know. Particularly, there's extroverts and there's extroverts, though. Like, this, you know what true. I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's extroverts that are just really, you know, friendly and outgoing in the way that they do life. But then there's extroverts that are, like, from over an introverted top. Perspective, over the top and, like, super expressive. And you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
Can we be real again now? And look, they might be being real, but from an introverted perspective, you just feel like, you know, when's this show going to end?
Yeah. Okay. That's a fair call. See, I've learned something tonight.
Look, another introverted perspective is, if somebody comes to talk to you, probably 8 or 9 times out of 10, they're going to be a person that you're going to be able to talk to, because they have shown interest, they've shown motivation, and so they're going to have some sort of genuine care for your life. So that's also, you know, not that you necessarily want to wait for somebody to come to you. I'm not suggesting that. But if you're sort of taking it all in and somebody comes up and talks to you, probably they're a good place to start.
That actually leads to a good question, though. Whose responsibility is it? Because, I mean, I've heard a lot of people complain about churches to say, oh, you know,
nobody talks to me.
Yeah, nobody talks to me, or it wasn't friendly, or whatever. Fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whose responsibility is it? Is it the church's responsibility to be friendly to you, or is it your responsibility to go out and connect with people?
Mm-hmm. It'll be both. I would say there's a little bit more responsibility on the church, because they can at least organise somebody to do it.
Yeah.
But ultimately, if you want to see change, be it.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And it depends on how you look at it, hey, because I agree with you that the church has a great responsibility, because, like, they're the stewards. And yet, you also, from a personal perspective, have the greater responsibility, because you can't change the church, but you can change you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it depends on how you view.
So in that regard, it's like saying it's 100% your responsibility and 100% the church's responsibility. So whenever one of them lacks, the other should make up that difference.
Be the mature party, eh?
Yeah.
I think that is probably one of the biggest lessons that I've learned over time, and that is that even if you don't get a warm reception at the beginning, often you're either catching people on a bad day or whatever. Yeah. But if you just keep showing up and keep putting yourself out there, you will not only befriend people, but you will become a part of the core membership if you just keep showing up. It's that simple. Yeah. It really is that simple.
You can liken it to people being a little bit like nuts. They might have a tough shell, but then there's goodness inside. Sometimes it takes a bit of cracking to get in to that goodness.
Yeah, this is true. And I think something that is... sorry, I'm going a slightly different direction. Were you going to say something?
No, I was just taking in the analogy, bro. thinking some people are pistachios, you know, like they're just stuck shut. Yeah. And then as you crack them, you crack the insides as well.
That's it.
So you got to be careful because some nuts are fragile.
That's true.
And then some are macadamias.
Yeah, you need a hammer to get inside. Yeah.
I can just see this week at church, Nato and Dave are going to show up with a hammer and a nutcracker, and it's like, righto. what I was going to say was, I think if you're looking from that, looking from that perspective and asking yourself who it is that you're reaching out to and trying to figure out where they're at in their experience, you know, you put yourself in a position where they're going to be more open to you if you're interested, genuinely interested in them. So I think that's probably the core of it, right?
If
you're genuinely interested in people, they're going to sense that, they're going to open up for that. So.
Yeah, I felt that was probably a good qualification for what you were saying before, because you can show up and show up and show up, but if you're not showing yourself friendly, Jesus says you're not going to be a friend.
Yes.
And so absolutely, that's the qualifier. If you have a genuine interest in the other person, eventually that other person is going to sense that genuine interest in them and probably they're going to open up to you.
You're looking for more in-depth conversations as well. You don't want to be sitting there talking about the weather or what sort of work they do. You want to get into the nitty-gritty, so things that you have in common and things that they're passionate about. And if you can walk away from that conversation and you can say, I like that about that person, then you've connected with that person. All you need is to be able to say just that one thing, and you know you've created that connection.
And also remembering, you know, at least one or two things from your conversation, you know, what they're passionate about. Because next time you meet up with them, you go, oh, how's that such and such going? Or you can ask questions that you know they're There's into, a connection with, and you can build that connection even further.
I like to ask people, who are you when you're not at work, or who are you when you're not at church, kind of thing, because it gives them the opportunity to select what they want to tell you about, and they're gonna pick something that they do have a passion for, right? You know, and so you get some interesting answers when you ask questions like that, and you're not limiting yourself to what the weather's like. So
everybody has a story, I think that's a really good place to start. You know, when you're trying to connect with people at church, you know, ask them about their story, and you're going to find out along the way some people's stories that you just have no connection to whatsoever. And you're going to be like, okay, mental note, this is the kind of person that I can be intrigued by, but not necessarily like particularly connected to. And then there's going to be some where you're going to relate to parts of their story, like you're saying, Nato, and you're going to be able to pick up that part of the story down the track and build context with them in that area. So I think stories,
even still with the people that you can't connect with, you can still show that you have an interest in them as a person.
And if you want some examples of actually how to do that, I would suggest listening to some of the interviews we have that we've released, because that'll give you an idea of just how to crack open that nut and get to the ooey-gooey centre.
Ooey-gooey.
What kind of a nut are you?
Particularly the interviews that Luke does. He's a very good interviewer.
Thank you. And it is great fun. After a while, it starts to become a game in and of itself. You know, it is.
I think, you know, not everybody's going to relate to this, but one thing that I do when I go to a new church is I look for ways in which I can become incorporated into that church.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like even when I first moved here, I was actually looking to not do that, but it just happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just the kind of person that I am.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you're not that kind of person, you can become that kind of person. Over time, you build the habit of, I suppose, observing, like I was saying earlier, but observing with the specific intention that your observations are going to be about how can I fit into this picture and benefit the whole.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you might feel inspired to start a small group or to join a small group or to if you're musical, to join the music department of the church in whatever way you're able to do, or you know what I mean? Find a place where you belong in the church and contribute. I think that's one of the best ways that you can connect with people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, amen. And I think there's one thing that we haven't mentioned that if we were to miss out on would be a great shame, and that is food.
Oh, yes, definitely.
How did we not talk about that?
How did we not talk about food?
Especially seeing as we're all boys.
This is true, but...
It's called self-control. We're just holding back. For the best to last. Right. That's what it is.
Okay. There you go. I didn't even know I was doing that.
That's how good it is.
Yeah, like you're just that good, Dave. You're just that good.
Apparently. Yeah, but food is like the universal language, isn't it?
Yeah. Really, there's no easier way to connect to somebody than over a meal.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that can take a lot of forms, right? Mm. I mean, most churches have a lunch, even if it's not every week. Periodically, they will have a fellowship lunch where everyone gets together.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great time to. That's a really great. What would I say? Low engagement way. You know, you don't have to do anything special. You just have to be there,
mm-hmm.
and you can connect with people. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you want to step that up a notch, invite someone to your place. Once you've had a couple of interactions at church, say, hey, you know, what are you guys doing for dinner? Would you like to come over and join us? Or why don't you have lunch with us tomorrow?
Yeah. Or make a picnic if you don't have that as an option.
Yeah, exactly.
Just staying with somebody else or something.
Yeah, yeah. Have a picnic together. That's really good. That's another really good way to connect.
Yeah.
So I'm a big believer personally in that obviously not everyone can always, you know, entertain or, you know, like you were saying, Dave, you know, not everybody has their own place or whatever, but... If you can learn how to cook, even if it's only just a couple of things, it opens up a lot of opportunities for you to, one, do ministry, but two, just connect with people. Mm. So.
And sometimes you don't even need to cook. You just need to be able to crack open a tin of baked beans, have some corn chips and some salad,
mm-hmm.
and great Australian savvy tradition called haystacks. And, you know, if you're visiting a church... You go, okay, is there a park nearby? Come around.
Yeah.
Have some lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just gives you that opportunity.
Yeah. Go to the beach, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think just to, I mean, obviously it's possibly not a Sabbath thing, but if you're not that way inclined, you know, just shout somebody lunch. Invite them to come out with you for, you know, for a meal or something like that. It gives
Saturday evening.
Saturday evening. Take somebody out or something. You know, there's a lot of options is the point, right? And around food, it's something that everybody has to do. And so it's a really easy way to get to know people. Even Jesus himself spent a lot of his time connecting with people around food. You know, even
feeding 5,000 people.
That's true. That's true. What a way to make a connection, right?
Yeah.
On the road to Emmaus, right? They didn't know who he was until they sat down and they broke bread.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And most of us will have, you know, 21 meals a week, so it's not that hard to break open that cycle and have, you know, one or two or three or however many with somebody else. So
yeah.
Maybe closer to 35.
You have 35 meals a week.
Over 30 anyway.
Okay, wow.
Ugh. the whole what's what I'm looking for, the bodybuilder's diet, is that the thing? Yeah, right.
Small meals,
yeah, more of them.
Mm. But the gift of hospitality is certainly underrated, isn't it?
Mm.
It's something we can all do at least at some level, and it creates such connections with people.
Yeah,
it really does.
It's something we should all embrace more.
Mm. Let's do an episode on that at some point. So, but at least for this point, is there anything else that you guys want to share? Well done. I think we're going to leave it there for this particular installment. We will be back next week with the next chapter of How to Get the Most Out of Church. We'll catch you guys then.
And that's the end of another episode. Just before I head off, I want to encourage you to go over to our page on Facebook and also our account on Instagram and follow us there, because that is where we interact with our listeners, and we would love for you to enter in and join the conversation. Also, while you're signing up, I would also recommend signing up to our mailing list on our website, oztabletalk.com.au. If you do that, you will receive our exclusive content, because occasionally we do release exclusives and they only go out to our mailing list. So I would strongly recommend you go and sign up for that. If you have a few more minutes to be one of the most amazing listeners on the planet, you can go over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review, because reviews help us to grow and they help other people to find us. So if you want to help us reach those goals, please jump in and give us a review. The final message that I'd like to leave you with is to let you know about our Patreon account. Now, Patreon is a way for creators to get paid for creating, and ultimately what we do does cost money to get us hosted and have the services that we need to run the podcast. And so if you'd like to help us do that, jump over onto patreon.com/oztabletalk, and you can give anything from even $1 a month upwards. But at different levels, there are different benefits, different rewards that we want to give you just to say thank you for being an amazing supporter of ours. If you can't afford that, we would just gratefully accept your prayers, because that is what our ministry runs on. And so with that, I will leave you to your day, and thank you so much for listening to this episode. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.